This morning, as we look into God's Word, we'd like to focus on the backslider in heart. What it means to be someone who has backslidden in their heart, how God will deal with that individual according to God's Word, and what the remedy is for backsliding. Everything that I share in the way of description of backsliding, I've experienced in my own life. And I think most of you sitting here this morning, as we look into God's Word, will agree that there have been times in your life where you've also backslidden in the areas that we're going to speak about. There's a number of different references that we could have used. There's many in the Old Testament that use the term backsliding. It's used most commonly in reference to Israel, when God would speak with them again and again, and they would stubbornly refuse to hear His voice. The passage that was read in Proverbs 14:14, is spoken more on a personal level. And then the passage that was read in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, is spoken more to a people that have backslidden. We're going to use Proverbs 14:14 as primarily the outline for our thoughts. We'd like to begin with first answering the question, what does it mean to backslide? And in its most literal meaning, it would mean to slide backwards when our intent is to go forwards, or our original intent was to go forward. But over a period of time, we find that we are going backwards when we had originally set out to move forwards. It can also refer to a turning back that takes place in our heart, where our heart is first committed to one direction, and over a period of time, our heart turns back and our life begins to go in another direction. There can be many factors in our life which can contribute to backsliding. It can be difficult circumstances that come into our life. We can experience unjust treatment at the hands of others. We can have wrong influences from friends. We can have an unholy work environment. Or it could be just the general moral decline of the times. All of these influences can come into our life and can be contributing factors causing us or helping us to backslide. But according to God's Word, that is still not the root issue. The root issue in backsliding is we make a choice in our heart to respond to those different influences around us. And the backsliding that takes place in our life is really a heart issue. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And so we need to ask ourselves these simple questions in relation to backsliding. Are we moving forward in our relationship with the Lord? Very simple question, but it needs to be asked. Are we moving forward? Are we moving forward in victory over sin? Are we moving forward in spiritual growth? Are we moving forward in relationships with members of the body of Christ? If we cannot answer those questions positively, We need to take inventory and self-examination, because if we're not moving forward, we will be sliding backwards. Perhaps you're sitting here thinking, you know, I have many things going on in my life, and you just dismissed all those things and you say they don't matter, they don't count. You're saying they're not the root issue. That's correct. That is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they don't contribute. I'm not saying that the other circumstances in our life, that other people might not have responsibility for those. But what I am saying is the root issue to backsliding is always the condition of our own heart. All through life, a person will live with circumstances that will tend to make them backslide. But they will not backslide until their heart consents to backsliding. When we justify backsliding due to our circumstances, we are saying God's grace is not sufficient for me. If we had to fix our backslidings on our own strength, then circumstances would play a huge role in our success. But you see, it's not just up to us to fix our own backslidings. God has promised to heal our backslidings if we will come to Him. We will look at that a little later. I want to make one scriptural qualification to what I've shared. And I believe Jesus points this out. And that is that we need to be very, very careful that we don't offend a little one. Because if we offend a little one who is young in faith or young in life, that we perhaps may bear more responsibility for their outcome than perhaps they would at that time in their life. Jesus said it's better for a millstone to be hanged about our neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. But in general, what we are saying is that we need to take personal responsibility for how we respond to the circumstances in our life. In the letters to the seven churches of Asia, we get a picture of all types of churches, all types of societies, all types of conditions. But in each one of those conditions, in each one of those societies, in each one of those churches, there were always overcomers. Overcoming is the opposite of backsliding. Overcoming is going forward in spite of the pressure to push us backwards. Backsliding is saying, I will not take the pressure anymore, and so my heart consents to give in to the pressure. And I will allow myself to be pushed back in my spiritual life. Whereas the overcomer says, in spite of the pressure to slide backwards, by God's grace, we will go forward. We all have pressures in our life to backslide. And when we cease in growing or moving forward over a period of time, we will automatically start backsliding. What are some of the ways we can backslide in our hearts, or how do we recognize backsliding in our hearts? When we forsake biblical convictions that we once held. When we become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. When we adopt a forced interpretation of Scripture in order to justify continuing on in the sin that we want to continue on in. When we use the sins or shortcomings of others to justify our own condition and refuse to take personal responsibility to make the needed changes to grow, we are backsliding. When we refuse to do the good that we can do, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. When we continually feed on the shortcomings of others, feet on the mire and the dirt, dredging up the past, never moving forward and never putting the past behind us. There's a verse that speaks to that specifically. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The person whose life is backslidden is compared to a troubled sea that continually churns and churns, and in its churning, it dredges up everything that's on the bottom that we cannot see. And the person who's in a backslidden condition, some backsliders make it their business to dredge up everything on the bottom that they think other people are overlooking or not noticing about other people's life, and they try to bring it to the surface. And God says, to those wicked, there is no peace. They think that the answer to their problems is to reveal the problems of others. And God says, there will be no peace to the backslider who takes that approach. How is the backslider filled with his own ways? What does it mean the backslider will be filled with his own ways? The thought here is that the backslider will experience the fruit of his doings. Now, if we walk by faith, God's grace often delivers us from the full consequences of our sin. It's the beauty of forgiveness. It's the beauty of repentance, is that the things that we justly deserve, God in mercy and in grace can deliver us from the penalty of those sins. He often gives beauty for ashes. He makes things beautiful that we have marred when we commit our lives to him. But with the backslider, God deals differently with them. God steps back and allows them to experience a greater measure of the consequences of their sins. God does not allow them to experience the full penalty initially. The wages or the full penalty of sin is death, complete and utter separation of God for all eternity. But when God is dealing with the backslider in this life, he's dealing with them in a measure, showing them their sin for the purpose of their correction, allowing them to experience a measure of the penalty and the consequences of those sins, so that they might see that their own ways are the ways of destruction. God has said the way of the transgressor is hard. You see, God has designed his laws for our good. And when we step over those laws by decisions in our heart, by turning back from them, by ignoring them, or by stubbornly refusing to obey God's laws, God's word is, your life will be hard. In Proverbs, wisdom is speaking. Wisdom can be viewed as God's word to us, wise counsel from other people who care, wise counsel from parents, wise counsel from friends. Wisdom is simply good advice, good admonition. And here wisdom is speaking to a fool, to a backslider. Ye have said it not all my counsel. It's referring to someone, no matter what you say to them, they are still determined to take their own way. They despised all my reproof. When I gave them advice, they turned away from it. When I gave them reproof or a stronger measure of correction, they despised it. They rejected it. They mocked it. Here's how God responds to that. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Very similar to the passage that we're looking at here, that the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. Because the backslider refuses to take advice or counsel given by others saying, if you take this path, this is where you're going to end up. And in the course of that path, you're going to meet with hardship along the way. The person refuses to accept that, refuses to believe it. God says, okay, I will let you go down that path, and you will experience it firsthand, the judgment and the correction of the Lord, until you say, I've had enough. Can't take anymore. I'm willing to submit. Do you think you can outlast God? You only have a short life and time. He has all eternity. You might outlast your parents. You might wear out your friends. But you won't wear out God. We read the verse in Jeremiah, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. You won't listen to the advice of wisdom. So what God says, he will use your own backsliding to correct you because you refuse to listen to wisdom. Now you must listen to backsliding until you've eaten to the full. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, forsaken or turned back from God, and that thy fear, that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. When we turn our back deliberately on God, after we've experienced the goodness of God and the grace of God, we will experience evil and bitterness until we're willing to turn back and renew our commitment to him. Now it's typical that when this begins to happen in a person's life, that they will refuse to acknowledge that their woes are from their own backsliding. They will still believe that their problems are the result of their circumstances or what others have done to them. They will initially refuse to accept responsibility. They may even go so far as to declare their complete innocence. This is not unusual. If you go and visit a jail and interview the criminals, most of the criminals will say that they are there because they've been unjustly treated or because their circumstances in life gave them the excuse that they need to turn out the way that they've turned out. They will not recognize their personal responsibility. This is part of the deception of sin. Sin leads us to believe that that which God has asked us to take responsibility for, we convince ourselves it's not our issue. It's our circumstances. It's other people. And God addresses this as well. Yet thou sayest, because I'm innocent. God is taking the words right out of backslidden Israel. You're saying it's not my fault. It's my circumstances. It's other people. God responds to that, yet thou sayest, because I'm innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee because thou sayest, I have not sinned. In other words, God will continue to strive with us until we recognize that our backsliding is a result of our own heart condition and choices that we have made. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They deceive themselves as to what the problems are in their life, and they refuse to return. Jeremiah 8:5. The backslider is always deceived about the condition of their heart. And one of the sure signs of backsliding is when a person refuses to acknowledge or consider any perspective other than their own. One of the signs of a backslidden heart is when a person refuses to acknowledge or consider any perspective other than their own. You see, a backslider always can justify their condition. A backslider can always transfer the blame to someone else. The backslider always refuses to take personal responsibility. And the backslider always refuses to accept someone else's perspective. You have set at naught my counsel, says wisdom. You know, God was speaking to backslidden Israel through people, the prophets. Backslidden Israel thought that they were just rejecting the prophets because they didn't like them. They didn't care for their personalities. They didn't care for their manner of presentation. They didn't care for what they had to say. Ahab's a good example. You always prophesy evil concerning us. You never have anything good to say about me and my condition. And yet people, the prophets, were God's appointed means to recover a backslider. And so when a backslider refuses wisdom or advice coming from other people, they simply have chosen to continue backsliding. God will continue to chasten the backslider till they're ready to honestly evaluate their own heart. Often they will say, I'm still doing fine. I just need to get more fulfillment from my own ways. Others live like this and they're happy. I just need to learn how to be happy in the things that I enjoy. I will seek more pleasure and more of my own desires. And when I learn how to live that way, then I'll be happy. God's word also speaks to that attitude. Hosea's wife said that. I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Now God speaks to that perspective. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. When the person is determined, after they experience the hardness of backsliding, that they will continue. And if they continue in backsliding, and once they learn how to be a good backslider, then things will be better for them. God is saying, I will hedge up your way with thorns. When you're going down a road, you're going to run into a wall. You see, the backslider who refuses to humble himself eventually not only experiences the consequences of their sins, but they begin a war against God. Because they're determined to keep on with their ways in spite of the pricks of conscience. When Paul was struck down on the road to Damascus, Jesus said to him, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And there's no exception to that rule. The backslider must be loved, encouraged, and admonished. But there are also times when they must be rebuked sharply. This is the scripture given to Titus concerning the church at Crete. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses. So it's talking about these people who have a lot of vain and empty and boastful talking, and they deceive other people. And Paul goes on in talking to Titus. He says they are liars. The thought here is not just that they tell lies, but they live under false illusions. And they spread those false illusions to other people so that other people are living under false illusions. He refers to them also as evil beasts. And the thought in the evil beast is something that is antagonistic or hostile. When you get close to them or you approach them with something, they become hostile. Or they become ready to fight. Refers to them also as slow bellies. The thought here is two. One is gluttonous and slothful. Taken in the context of people, the thought is this. They have filled themselves with so much of themselves that when you ask them to do something that is right, they can hardly move because they've gluttoned themselves with themselves. And when it comes to doing something that is right, they're slow, they're lazy, and they procrastinate in doing the right thing. And Paul goes on and he says, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. If we are backsliding, God is letting us be filled with our own ways in order to help us see that it's time to change our ways. It's God's mercy that lets us experience the consequences of sin. He's only doing it in measure. He's already tried goodness. He's tried wisdom, and you refused that. So now he's using consequences. He's showing you that your ways will have a bitter end. Will your heart be broken before God? If you continue on your way, it's going to be hedged up with thorns and walls. You're not going to find enjoyment in the pleasures that you seek. That which you once enjoyed will eventually become your misery. Your pleasures and your selfish desires will bankrupt you and leave you feeling empty and unfulfilled. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And now we contrast this with the good man. A good man shall be satisfied from himself. The contrast is that the backslider is never satisfied and that the good man finds satisfaction. It doesn't mean that the good man is self-satisfied or smug or self-assured, but rather what it means is the path that he has chosen in life brings fulfillment and satisfaction because he's following the good path. He's following the path that God has laid out for him. The good man experiences meaning and fulfillment of life because his conscience is clear. He keeps the conscience as void of offense against man and God. When our conscience or our hearts harbor offenses against others, our life moves from being opened to being covered up. We try to hide those offenses for a while. And then after a while, as we become more and more entrenched in our backsliding, we don't try to hide those offenses anymore. We're not ashamed to share them. But the good man has a conscience that is clear. And in the clarity of conscience before God and man, he finds satisfaction and fulfillment and meaning in life. He has the assurance that his life is unfolding according to God's plans because he knows that everything works together for good because he loves the Lord and he's called according to his purpose. He is willing to hear instruction. He's even willing to accept rebuke from others. Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. You know, when someone with a different perspective gives advice to a backslider, they look for any discrepancy or error in the advice so they can dismiss it all. It doesn't matter how many good things you tell a backslider, if they can find one discrepancy, that's all they need to reject everything that you have told them. Whereas a wise man says, even if overall the rebuke has been unfair, I will still say, is there anything that I can learn from this rebuke? Perhaps there's something they noticed in my life that should be improved upon. And even though perhaps rebuke is given in a wrong way, I will try to profit from it. And he finds satisfaction in his life. He's satisfied with his ways because he has the witness of the Spirit of God within him that he's the Son of God. He's satisfied because God testifies on his behalf by confirming his work before others. Listen to this verse. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. What God is saying is this: if you choose my way, if you take the path of a good man, I will bear testimony in your life. Yes, you will make mistakes. Yes, you will make errors. You will need to make corrections, but your life will have meaning and purpose. And in the end, I will bear testimony that your life was worthwhile. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. Proving and self-examination lead to rejoicing in what God is doing in my life. Healing for backsliding. If you persist yet in your backsliding and will not be broken, God in the end will grind you to powder. But it doesn't have to be that way. Because you're yet here in this life, God is calling you to healing for your backsliding. God says this to backslidden Israel: return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. And Israel responds prophetically: behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. One of the first signs of healing and backsliding is a person recognizing the lordship of Jesus Christ in their life. This first step has to be to come to the Lord and to rededicate your heart, to renew it. I give up all to follow Jesus Christ. You need a change of heart. You need a change of life. Your first temptation will be to try to change your life, and you're going to find out you've set patterns and habits and you can't change. That's why the first thing needs to be, you need to come back and give your heart back to the Lord and acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ. You need to acknowledge you've tried to make your life meaningful and you failed. You tried to find fulfillment and you found misery. You tried to find more pleasure and you only found more pain. You tried to set goals and achieve them and you found the frustration of thorns and walls. Another distinguishing mark of a backslidden heart is lust. By lust, I don't just mean moral impurity. By lust, I mean this: always desiring more and never feeling satisfied with what you have. That is the mark of a backslidden life. You're driven by a craving desire for what you do not have, and you can never get satisfaction. Come unto Jesus. We come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. That's the repentant prayer of a backslider. Your life is marked by frustration. It seems like it goes from one frustration to another through life. Why? Because your perspective is shaped by lust rather than by contentment and giving thanks. If you generally are not a thankful or a content person, then you are backslidden and bound by lust. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Thanksgiving and contentment are the marks of a good man leading a satisfied life. Reflect a moment on your life and heart. Are you regularly expecting more out of someone else to make your life fulfilled? Do you seek to transfer guilt and blame to others because of the frustration in your own heart? Do you seek to make others feel the pain you feel? Are you continually seeking more pleasure and only finding more pain? Again, these are marks of a backslidden heart that God can heal. You will never find satisfaction in life by trying to force other people to meet your needs. You will never feel righteous by dredging up the mire and dirt about others. If you were to take inventory of your whole life, does it feel like you've taken one step forward and two steps back? If so, God can heal you. God says that He will heal our backsliding, just as He said that He will use our backslidings to correct us. Just as He said, the way of the transgressor is hard. Just as He has brought hardness in your life and will continue to bring hardness in your life, He also promises to bring healing into your life if you're willing to repent of your backslidden heart. Are you able to thank God for your circumstances in life and for all the people in your life? Are you able to look at your spouse and say, thank you for being a part of my life? Can you do the same for your parents or your children, your siblings, or your church? Can you look at your possessions and be content with such things as ye have? The road to recovery seems really hard right now, and you may say, I cannot do this. But if you don't give God your heart, your life will only become harder and harder. God will bring us into judgment for our backsliding and for the others that we influence to backslide. The good man who walks in the ways of the Lord is rewarded with meaning and purpose in life, and you will never experience meaning and purpose until you give your backslidden heart to the Lord. A good man's life is marked by graciousness in their responses to God and man, openness to hear from others, thanksgiving and contentment with what they have, and a desire to serve others. But the backslider in heart is primarily concerned with their own perspectives and their own desires, and they weigh and judge everyone else based upon how they fit into their own selfish plans. Their life is marked by frustration because they are being filled with their own ways. And their ways are marked by lusts, always desiring more than what they have, or desiring things to be different from what they are. And thus they are never satisfied because God is giving them the harvest of what they have sown to their self. And self never gets enough of self. It always wants more. Perhaps you're saying, well, are all my desires wrong? I don't know that. Give them to the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. When you give Him your heart, and it becomes one with God, then His desires for you and your desires can become one. And those desires can be fulfilled. All of us are prone to backsliding. All of us must guard against it. But some here have decided to backslide in their heart. If you're willing to say, my backsliding is a result of the condition of my heart, you can come to the Lord and say, I want a heart change. Have you tried to reform your life and you've failed? Don't try to change your life without asking God first to change your heart. You must come to the Lord and ask Him to take out the backsliding heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. You see, if you've been in this pattern of backsliding, your heart is stoned. It can't change unless God takes it out and gives you a heart of flesh that's able to respond, that's able to feel, that's able to desire what God desires for you. God said this to Israel, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Do you see the progression? First, we need to come to God and ask God to give us a change of heart. Take out the stone, give us a heart of flesh. And God says, I will then change your life. This is God's promise. Will we believe it? Will we embrace it by faith? God can give us the grace to claim it for our lives. Search your life. Read this promise. It's in Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27, the verse we quoted. I will give you a new heart. Repent of your backsliding and ask God to perform this promise in your heart and in your life.